Weekends with Simon Marnie.
And no stranger to the Weekend Show studio is, of course, Valley Little from Delicious Magazine. Welcome back.
Thank you, Simon.
Great to have you here. I will be seeing you on Monday when the Delicious Produce Awards are announced.
Very exciting.
And this is where Delicious Magazine recognises producers from all over Australia for their dedication and also the quality of the produce.
Yeah, look, I mean, we live in an amazing country with amazing produce, so should be celebrated, and you and I judge that wonderful artisan category.
Wasn't
together.
That a tough day?
I know, and I can't wait to announce what won. It was so exciting.
Marty Burtz was there as well, but yeah. Many judges from capital cities around Australia.
Absolutely.
All of them great chefs.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Ella Wolf Tasker, Chong Lu, Philip Johnson from Queensland, just, you know, the cream of the cream, all sifting through and tasting all this wonderful produce we have.
Now, I don't know any other awards except for the one I judged, and I'm looking forward to making that announcement for the Artisan Awards. That'll be held at Bennelong on Monday night, so yep. We'll let everybody know next week. Somebody who could see there were knife sharpeners in the business, but then there wasn't the people that were hand sharpening. Now, Terry Wright took me aside and showed me how to use an oil stone. And when you start using that with your knife, you just get really proud of the blade in your hand. Joel Sharp joins me. And that's what you look after knives for a living, don't you?
I do, Simon. Good morning. How are you?
So once you were in the kitchen as a professional chef, and then you just sort of saw that there was this avenue for a knife sharpener. But we've had knife sharpeners go to restaurants for years.
We have had knife sharpeners go to restaurants for years. And I remember my experience in the kitchen from knife sharpeners was use them once. And my personal experiences are never again, generally. I like to keep the stamp on my knife. I don't like a polished line two-thirds of the way up the knife, and I prefer my knife to have a nice clean edge rather than a sort of damaged little serrated edge, which does cut but doesn't last.
So what do you use when you're sharpening with Mr. Sharp? What do you actually use? You don't use that thing on the back of the motorbike?
No, I don't.
Or as my grandfather used to use the sandstone step on the back porch, apparently.
Yeah.
As my name Joel Sharp suggests, I decided to go into sharpening. You know, if I was Joel Baker, I'm sure I'd be baking bread, but yep. I'm not. I'm sharpening knives.
Not with determinism.
That's right. And being old school like that, I believe that knives should be sharpened with stone and water. I have used oil stones. I have experimented with various machineries. Lots of knife companies put out their own little versions of a machine to sharpen a knife. But nothing really does the job, I believe, of stone and water.
Mm-hmm.
And different grades of stone, starting up rough depending on the job, going down to a nice fine finish on, say, a ceramic stone or a diamond plate.
Over the time, we'll find out about, you know, the diamonds ones that you... What's
diamond
that called?
Diamond steels, which are great.
Yeah.
Generally used for honing. I think a common misconception about knives and sharpening is that you can't sharpen a knife with a steel. A knife already has to be sharp. The steel's purpose is to hone the burr off a sharp knife. Because if the burr is left unattended, that sharp edge will fold over to a flat spot and then you'll end up with a blunt knife.
And that's what you're describing on the phone, Valley. It's amazing. This is like that little tip or apex of the blade will actually fold over, and that's why it goes blunt.
Yeah, it's amazing. We were talking earlier, actually, and saying that so much is about education, educating people about how to look after their knives, because they're not cheap and they're such a precious thing to have in the kitchen. You can't live without them, but they definitely need to be looked after.
You'll know the one curse when you go on holidays and where you're staying.
Absolutely.
You go to somebody's knife drawer and you just can't use them, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I was saying, you know, if you know, we run a competition in the magazine, I go to someone's house and prepare a meal or something like that. More often than not, the first thing they do is apologise for the state of their knives.
1-300-222-702. Pick the brains of Mr. Sharp or talk about kitchen equipment. Joel would obviously say knives are the vital things in his kitchen, which I guess you do use every day. Valley Little, what can you not live without in your kitchen?
Well, look, I think the great thing that's happened over the past few years is that the dining room's come into the kitchen, so it's a much more sort of relaxed place to be. But you don't want it to look like an industrial site either if you've got people sitting in your kitchen, you know, cooking alongside you and eating with you. So you need to keep things as basic as possible, I think, but just have a few things that are really important. We've got this place in our kitchen that we call the graveyard, which are all the things that
I've got the graveyard.
Yeah. But I think for me, I mean, good knives, a microplane, I think is essential, a really good food processor with a good motor. And I'm off and running.
I agree with you, microplane. My favourite one, believe it or not, and I got it two doors down from where you used to work. I've got three small ones and three larger ones, and they are steel bowls.
Yeah.
Oh, can't live without steel bowls.
Now, I tried to describe this to Robbie Buck, and he thought I was being a Ponzi wannabe TV chef.
No, absolutely not.
But why do I love steel bowls, Joel?
Steel bowls, they're clean, they're practical, and when you buy them, you generally buy them in a set of different sizes.
Yep.
And I think it's mostly to do with the shape of them. If you've got a flat spatula and you've just made a cake mix, or you've got a salad, or you've made an emulsion, a mayonnaise or something, and you're trying to scrape it out with a spoon of a normal bowl or a bowl with deep sides, a steel bowl is just the perfect shape to run your spatula along the side of. It comes out clean, smooth, and it doesn't leave anything behind. And stainless steel just looks good.
I can do... Now, you say in the cooking classes, and you'll know this, it's a pretty punsy term. I call it prep. You call it...
Mise en place.
Now, mise en place. What is mise en place?
It means basically just getting yourself organised. It's a very chefy term, but I like to start all my cooking classes saying to people it's the most important thing you can do so you don't end up with stuff all over the kitchen, sink full of washing up. So do your prep, you know, put it in small stainless steel bowls or little plastic takeaway containers if you use those, and just have everything chopped up ready to go, and you'd be surprised how much easier it is when you're cooking.
All chefs on the first day of college open their textbook, and on the very first page, chapter one is mise en place.
And it does work, but it's great for the home use as well, because once you've chopped, you know, if you've got to chop different vegetables, if you've got to slice cheeses, no matter what, you can put them in those little bowls that I'm talking about. And then when it comes to putting it all together in the... So that's what I'm going to say is my favourite one. This, what I can't do without is the bowl. Silver bowls.
And you know the great thing too, if you're one of those people that recycles, you can have your bowls there. You can put your veggies in one things when you're chopping up.
Yep.
You can, you know, put, you know, your other disposables in another and keep your kitchen nice and clean and tidy.
Weekends with Simon Marnie. On 702 ABC Sydney.
16 past 11 on Twitter, Siren says, a big sharp chef's knife can do without a flour sifter, use a sieve. And that is another one as well. I've never understood the flour sifter. I want to find out about the... what's that?
Mandolin?
Mandolin, yeah.
I saw the hand motion.
I can live without a mandolin. It's great to have one if you want lovely, beautiful, thin slices, but you could probably live without it.
We are talking the implement for the kitchen, not the stringed instrument.
Yes.
Yeah. When it comes to knives, I mentioned one of the basic mistakes people make with knives, Joel, which is they put them in the dishwasher. Why is that bad for them?
The common thought would be because... you know, dishwashers aren't overly gentle. Knives need to be cared for. But it's also about the knife actually spending long periods of time in water with detergent. And water as detergent, as with all things that are acidic and wet, moist things, they will deteriorate the edge of the knife. Spending too much time in water will get into the handle. It's just not a conducive environment for a healthy knife.
On the line in Vaucluse, Lily, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
You've got ceramic knives.
Yes, I've used them for a long time, but I've never managed to sharpen them because they don't sell sharpeners, or I don't know how to sharpen ceramic knives.
This actually takes us through the different styles of knives that are around. Joel, ceramic knives.
Ceramic knives ideally should never need to be sharpened, and that's really the whole point about ceramic knives. They should, ideally. I've come across ceramic knives that do need to be sharpened.
Well, that's what they say, but they do go, I just buy a new one.
Well, to save yourself some money, Lily, instead of buying new knives, what you need to do is the manufacturer of the ceramic knives, you send them back to them and they will sharpen them for you.
I know, but it's such a hassle to go and turn them off.
Yes, yeah.
But these are made of clay, is that right? Actually ceramic knives?
Well, they're ceramic knife. I mean, a baked ceramic.
They're great. They're thin, they're sharp, they're light. I can't use any other knife anymore.
They're fragile.
They're best knives.
I drop my knife once a week.
Oh, you don't drop them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Ceramic knives are fragile.
And you can't cut something on, hard.
You don't want to be cutting them on a stone bench top or steel bench top. Nor should you with any knife.
Or frozen stuff or bone or something.
Look, they're high-performance knives, Lily, and they're a really, I suppose, elite group of people who would use them.
I keep sending them off. I just would like to sharpen them myself. But I'll just keep sending them off.
It's probably best to not, but,
I've got seven, so I managed to sort of send some off and then use the other ones. But I just bought a set in Europe for, would you believe, $70 for three knives. So
that's
impressive.
Great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never heard of ceramic knives before. Thanks, Lily.
That's all right. Thank you.
Have a good weekend. And there are different knives. I notice now the trend in the chefs particularly is towards these Japanese layered knives, which look beautiful. Are they as good as everybody says?
The Damascus effect is one way the Japanese described it, the beautiful layered folding, the hand beaten. You're talking about really high performance knives here. They're amazing.
They're very expensive.
Yeah. You can get yourself a good European knife for $80 to $120, a good chef blade, an F. Dick or a Mundial or a French Sabatier, a little bit more expensive. But Japanese knives, they range from, a couple of $100 up to $1,000 plus. These knives are hand-forged in the old-school Japanese tradition, and they're extremely lightweight. They use different compounds in them to make them lightweight but still immensely tough, and they hold an edge like you wouldn't believe, and they are quite easy to sharpen. But again,
were saying though, you've really got to try a knife out. It's got to feel right for you,
And balance is how it sits in your hand. Yeah. How do you work that out?
Well, I think you just trial and error. Go into a good kitchenware shop. Ask if you can feel the knife. If they've got an area, you can test one out and chop something up, because it's really important that you're comfortable with it. Otherwise, you'll chop your finger off.
Also, the knife blocks that you get have different ranges of knives for different processes. Do you really need five different knives?
At home, you don't.
No.
In a commercial kitchen, absolutely you do. At home, you're not boning out 20 chickens, so you can use your chef knives just to do the one, because it doesn't really matter. But it's all about efficiency of time and efficiency of work. And if you're using the one knife for absolutely everything, you're going to spend half a day sharpening your knife and honing it.
You're probably going to disagree with me here, but I reckon it's great to have one of those little Victorinox knives too.
Absolutely.
Not disagree. You could have them.
Are they the ones with a little serrated edge on them?
Yeah, I mean, they're very handy.
Well, they're the black and red handle plastic ones. They also come in blue and green now, but generally black and red, either serrated or just pointy.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. Enormously versatile.
Yeah,
you mentioned that you would never have in your kitchen the microplane.
The microplane.
Now, I only came across microplanes recently, and they really are for what is just basically a spiffy looking grater.
Yeah,
they're good.
Oh, they're fabulous.
What do you use it for?
Well, the thing I use it more than anything is for garlic. I never chop garlic anymore.
No.
I just grate my garlic and it's perfect. I mean, for citrus, the amount of zest that you get off an orange or a lemon using a microplane compared to a normal grater is double at least. For nutmeg.
Grana padano.
Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful, fine, silky threads.
Exactly. Mm.
And you get different grades of microplane as well. There's very small and quite large.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's a specific citrus one now. Great, great to have one of those.
No pun intended.
But when you were saying about, you don't need a pie warmer, and I was just thinking, it's for me, it's really important to think a little bit outside the square unless you want one of those cupboards full of things you don't use. And you can make a perfectly good toasted sandwich in a frying pan by putting another frying pan on top. That's what they do in commercial kitchens. You don't need a sandwich press and a waffle iron and a pie warmer.
Hang on, how do you do that with the frying pan and the toasted sandwich?
Well, you just put some oil or some butter in your frying pan, put your sandwich in there, and just put a heavy weight on top. So, you know, another frying pan, just slightly smaller, or, you know, a kitchen tray or something, and just weight it down and then flip it over, do the same thing, you know, does the same job.
Just like you're doing your crispy skin duck or a piece of fish. So you want crispy skin side down, another heavy weight on top.
Yeah.
Although your friend Steve Hodges has proper little weights that he puts on each little fish. And have you ever seen how much those weights cost?
I don't know exactly how much they cost, but I know when it comes to seafood, there is very few people.
One more thing too. You've got to have a good set of kitchen scales, electric scales.
Electric scales?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially for baking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Writing recipes, you have to have a set of scales that are very reliable.
And a little conversion app on your iPhone.
Yeah, that helps too.
1-300-222-702. 1-300-222-702. Wow, we've got a little text here. I'm not sure from whom, but they've sent in a photo of their home sharpener. Rest the blade on the angle and with a light pressure roll back and forth. Ian has that one. Can you see that there, Joel?
I can see it. Yes, I can see that.
That looks quite old too.
Yeah, it does. There's many such devices. I've walked into kitchens or cafes generally where they'll have something similar to that stuck to the wall. Mm-hmm. And the guys in the kitchen will walk up and just run it through. There was also one on TV recently that absolutely made my skin crawl.
Why?
Because they actually thought it was a good thing to show on TV as you were dragging the knife through, watching beautiful big curls of steel come off. It's just the mentality behind it. The idea about a knife is to prolong the life and keep it sharp, not to drag steel away to create a rough edge. That is really all it's doing is shrinking your knife each time you do it. And creating what I call, I don't know if it's commonly known, but what I call a dirty edge. An edge that if you look up really closely, if you put it under magnifying glass, it's actually a series of little grooves and cracks and breaks and ragged edges, mm-hmm. which when you run it over a tomato or a capsicum, it will cut through it like the same way a bread knife will cut through bread. But those little pieces, they break off very quickly. And it's just not a nice way to have a sharp knife. And it's not high performance in any way whatsoever.
You mentioned earlier on the diamond, what do you call this again?
Steel.
Steel. But you don't have to have diamond. There's all sorts of different steels. Most of them come with and if you get one of the knife blocks, they've got a steel in there. I didn't realise, Valley, I was about to throw out my diamond steel, and Joel said, you know the biggest mistake people make is they don't clean their steels.
They're clean
and I
went,
really?
Oh.
Well, the whole point of
take me through that.
The whole point of steels, as I mentioned earlier, is to hone the burr off your knife. Yeah, the edge of your knife is where two angles meet, and that point where they meet is what creates the edge, and it's a very, very fine edge, and that's what's sharp. And the burr that folds over one side or other through usage or through time or through putting it away, the steel's job is to correct that and take it off, as I said. The steel needs to be clean.
So how do you do that? You can clean a diamond one?
You can, absolutely. And the reason you need to clean is because that burr you're taking off is transferring from the knife to the steel. So whether you have steel that's got the long lines down at the grooves or one of those big flat ones with the big grooves down it or a diamond steel, all that you're doing is clogging up that abrasive surface with the particles of the burr, which after time, all you're doing is sliding your knife down a slick pole.
And that's what I was doing.
So how do you clean it with steel wool or something?
Well, generally the best way to do it, as long as it's not too far gone, in which case you're better off putting your steel, but generally the best way to do it is just to get a tea towel, wet it, hold on and just give it a good hard rub. And you'll see, it's quite amazing.
It's
even some kitchens I go to.
Valley. It is
you did
so
it, you did
disgusting.
It. You have a look. It's black. Yeah. It's just the amount of, and that's just all the steel you've been taking off your knife over time, and then run your knife over it, and you'll actually feel it really, just really not biting, but taking a great, you know, little burr off the knife.
That's why chefs have apprentices to do that sort
that's
of thing.
That's exactly right.
Most chefs wouldn't trust apprentices with their knives, to be honest.
I'm interested in storage. I mean, is a knife block a good thing? Or
there's nothing wrong with a knife block, provided. In my opinion, you should only use a knife block if you're putting in the knives upside down. If you're putting them in face down and resting the edge against the wood.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're going to be affecting that edge. Mm. So if you put it in upside down, absolutely, it's not a problem. The edge isn't touching anything. But if you can manage it, a magnetic knife rack is just the best way. There's no contact with the edge.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's visible, it's safe. You can have it up high, away from the kids. And a knife block, I mean, they look nice. And if they're used correctly, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. Better than keeping them in the drawer.
on 702 ABC Sydney. I know I might have done the wrong thing, but I actually dipped the knife sharpener, the steel, into water, but it just came out. Jim's in Patterson. How are you, Jim?
I'm very well, thank you, Simon.
Got a knife question?
Yes, I want to ask Mr. Sharp whether he uses a slicing action or a circular action when he's using his water stones.
As an apprentice, I did the figure eight. For many years, I tried to perfect it, and it's a good method, but I prefer the straight slashing, bottom to top, top to bottom, bottom to top, top to bottom. And the most important thing I could recommend is just try and keep a consistent angle on either side of the knife. If you're holding the knife at, say, 20 degrees up against the flat stone, when you spin it over to the other side, try and have the same angle. But up and down works great for me.
But I actually find I find it easier to do one side than the other. I can get my head around sharpening one side than the other. Is that normal?
The rub your tummy, pat your head scenario, I think. No, it's just practice. I don't know, try holding it differently. Try spinning the stone sideways. It's just a matter of practice.
It's worthwhile, though, isn't it, Jim?
Learning to sharpen anything is worthwhile. There's an old saying that sharp knives never cut anybody.
That's right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Also on the line, Tony in Cremorne, the ceramic knife sharpener, Tony.
Yes, good morning, Simon, and hello, Mr. Sharp.
Good morning.
I've got a ceramic knife sharpener, which steel, really, but
yes,
it's made of
steel.
Ceramic. And I have German knives, and I find that that actually is working very, very well, the contrast between ceramic
Absolutely.
And steel.
Absolutely beautiful. As I was just thinking before with the previous call about the ceramic knives, I was going to make a point, and just because you steel ceramic doesn't mean it will sharpen a ceramic knife. Ceramic steels are great. Ceramic stones are great. They do a really good job of honing or putting a really nice finish on an edge. So if you've got a totally blunt knife, it may not be ideal. But if your knife's in reasonable condition, that ceramic steel should really bring them back. So absolutely, you know.
Sure. Well, I follow
your... Do you need to clean a ceramic one as well?
Yeah. I follow your instructions. I mean, I use a whetstone when they're really blunt, but I find just for honing that edge, as you were talking about earlier, that the ceramic seems to work well on the German steel.
Tony, you got it. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Many more questions, such as the angle you hold it against the steel. We'll have to get you, Mr. Sharp, to come back. Valley Little, we'll see you on Monday evening at the Delicious Produce Awards tomorrow night.
I shall look forward to it.
And that gnocchi on the front cover, is that going to be the most popular? People have just had to give those away. It looks beautiful. I haven't made it yet. Is it hard?
Oh, no, nothing's hard and delicious.
It's just Play-Doh with
flavour,
isn't it?
Yeah, and it's what we do.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Sharp, Joel, if people want to get in contact with you to find out about sharpening their knives or that they have any questions, there's a website?
Yes, there is. It's www.mrsharp.com.au. My email is joel@mrsharp.com.au, or you can contact me on 0410 547 336.
And thank you both for coming in. See you Monday. Pleasure. See you soon.
Nice
on 702 ABC Sydney.